It is great to be able to worship with you this morning. As we just saw in the video, we're going to be celebrating communion together, which is just a beautiful time of celebration that we'll have together in a few minutes. But before we do that, we're going to talk a little bit about communion. And before we do that, I want to share with you a couple things that I received this week in the mail. So early on in this week at the church, I received a thank you card. I couldn't read the person that sent the card. I couldn't read their signature at the bottom of it. But it was a thank you card for a coffee gift card that they had received from our church. And I have no clue about coffee gift cards in our church and anything that's going on with that. So I'm a little bit confused by this card. I look at the return address on the outside of the envelope, and it's from Halifax, PA. So I'm like, I just don't see the connection here. And then yesterday at the church, I received another thank you card for the coffee card that our church gave to somebody. And through this one, I could actually put together some of the pieces of the puzzle. And our worship and, our outreach and missions team has been sending gift cards to all the teachers in the secondary building up at the high school and middle school. And they are blessing these teachers. And in both the cards, it's just a great big thank you. The one card says, thank you so much for during this unusual time encouraging us, supporting us, that kind of thing. So I just want to thank you guys as the church. That kind of stuff can't happen without us coming together and doing it together through our giving, but also through taking the time to write cards and sign all these cards. My wife works at the middle school, and she actually saw one of the cards and said it was signed by every member of the team, which is just awesome. So we thank you guys so much for making it possible for us to be able to be a lighthouse within our community. And I'm sure that if you want to be a part of signing cards and putting stuff together like that, Veronica would probably love to hear from you. So if you don't know who Veronica is, come see me and I'll connect you with her. But a great big thank you to you guys being the church in our community. I read a story earlier this week. It's a story about a young man that returned home from a trip to Las Vegas. And his name is Chris. He discovered that everything that was in his apartment when he got home and opened the door, he discovered that everything that was in his apartment was covered in aluminum foil. Everything. The walls, the ceiling, the cabinets, everything in between shimmered after a prank orchestrated by Kirk's longtime friend, Luke, who was staying in his apartment while he was gone. Luke covered everything in the apartment with about 4,000 square feet of foil. It cost him about $100 to do this prank. He enlisted several friends to complete the job with him. They carefully unrolled toilet paper, wrapped it in foil, and re-rolled it again. Luke and his helpers covered Kirk's book and compact disc. For some of us, you may not know what compact discs are, but it's something we used to play music on, a small record. Right, covered his book and compact disc collections, but made sure that the CD cases and the books would still be able to open and close as normal. They even covered every piece of spare change that they found in his house. Can you imagine how Kirk must have felt the first time that he walked through the door of his apartment to see everything covered in this aluminum foil? Just think of that thought for a second. Think about the total amazement that I'm sure he felt in that moment. Like this is an incredible feat that somebody took the time to do. Think about think about your sins and my sins and the amazing fact that God has covered them all with his own blood. And in the process, offers us forgiveness. That extreme coverage using tinfoil is the extreme coverage that God has given to each one of us by his willingness to die on the cross. by his willingness for his blood to be shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's what we're celebrating today. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for the time of worship that we have already been able to have together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have to be able to gather together and to worship you. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have and the desire that this church has to be a lighthouse within the community and within the world. I give you praise for that, Lord God. This morning, Heavenly Father, as we now open your word and look at your word concerning this moment, this time of communion that we're going to have this morning, I would pray, Lord God, that you would speak into our lives, that you would perhaps help us understand something just a little bit different than we've understood it before in regards to communion. That it would be a unique experience as a result of that, an experience that would stand out in our minds as we take communion together. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So, communion is one of those ordinances that we find in the New Testament. And you'll find passages on it. Kind of the main passages are found in Matthew chapter 26, in Mark chapter 14, in Luke chapter 22, and then the one in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And that's the one we're going to look at this morning. That's the one we're going to study and kind of pull apart a little bit this morning. This morning, before we take communion, I want to just quickly share kind of the purpose of communion, as well as several observations about communion that we're going to find in that 1 Corinthians 11 passage. So if you have your Bibles with you, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, turn on your phones, whatever you need to do to get there, and we'll read that in just a moment. As we talk about communion, there's a whole bunch of purposes, I believe, for communion. Communion is to commemorate the death of Christ, right? As we read later on in the passage, we're going to see the words, "This do in remembrance of me." Commemorate the death of Christ. That's one of the purposes of doing communion. Communion is to be a badge of the Christian profession. It's us saying that we follow Jesus Christ. We believe in what he did for us. Communion is to indicate and to promote the communion of believers with Christ. Communion. Communion is to remind us of the great promise, eternity with God because of Jesus' love for us. As I said earlier, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians and then look at some different observations that I want to share with you from that particular passage. So 1 Corinthians, we're going to start at verse 23. Starting at verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And then in verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." This is one of those verses, one of those passages in Scripture, I think, that we can become so familiar with because we use it time and time and time again as we receive communion together. There's danger in that. There's danger in that monotony. There's danger in the fact that we don't necessarily open it up and really dive into it. So that's my hope this morning, is that as we take it and walk through it kind of verse by verse, that maybe something that we look at, that we see just a little bit differently, or we see that we hadn't seen before. So the first observation I want to share with you is this. It's about remembrance, number one. It's about remembrance. This is verse 25. The Lord's Supper, and I'm not spending much time on any of these because we got maybe 6 or 7 or 8 of them to go through here. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one, but I just want to point out some observations from that passage. So it's about remembrance. The Lord's Supper is primarily, not exclusively, but primarily designed to elicit or to stimulate in our hearts remembrance of the person and the work of Jesus. Right? It's that verse that I shared with you earlier on before we read the passage. Do this in remembrance of me. It's about remembrance. Secondly, remembrance, it's not suggested in the passage. We are told to do it. It is commanded, I would suggest. Participation in the Lord's table, participation in what we're doing today for a believer in Jesus Christ is commanded of us. It's not an option. Prolonged absence from it, I think, is spiritually unhealthy. Because when we're doing communion, if we're really putting our heart and our mind into it, we're remembering the deep and rich love of Jesus Christ. And that should be what brings us together every single week. That should be what motivates us to stick with our faith and our journey and our walk with Jesus Christ. We need to remember that intentionally. Thirdly, communion entails the use of tangible elements, right? This is verse 24 to 26. The elements that we use are tangible. We here at Fairland, we use bread and juice. It isn't enough simply to say, remember. The elements of bread and juice are given to stir our minds and our hearts. The physical action of eating and drinking is designed to remind us that we spiritually ingest and depend upon Jesus and the saving benefits of his life, death, and resurrection. Just as food and drink are essential to sustain physical existence, so also the blessings and the benefits that come to us through the blood and the body of Christ. They're paramount to our spiritual thriving. Fourthly, the remembrance should be focused on Jesus. Right? Verse 24 and 25 again. We see this right in there. Do this in remembrance of me. And these are words that are written in red, which means that they are words that Jesus spoke. Do this in remembrance of me. It's about remembering Jesus. We are to remember Jesus. The focus isn't on Abraham or Moses or Isaiah. The focus is no longer on the Jewish Passover. Or the night of his betrayal, or anything else. Focus should simply be on Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. Fifth, confession is a part of communion. Confession. In verse 27 to verse 29, in this remembering, we see confession. In partaking of the elements, we declare Christ gave his body and blood for me. He died for me. If one cannot and does not personally and consciously confess that the bread and the wine or the bread and the juice symbolize the body and the blood of Jesus that was sacrificed for us as sinners, then we're missing the point. We probably shouldn't even take communion in that situation. Christ shed his blood for us. And it's because of that that our sin needs to be confessed and then can be forgiven. Communion is about the past and the future. It's about both. It's not just one or the other. It's not just looking back at what took place when Christ went to the cross. It's also proclaiming the hope and the good news of what's to come. So verse 26 is where we see this. In this remembering, we also proclaim the Lord's death, and how does it end? Until he comes again. It's not merely an ordinance that looks at the past. It's an ordinance of hope that points us to Jesus in the future. 7, the act of communion should not be taken lightly. It shouldn't. Verse 27, to partake in the Lord's table in an unworthy manner is to take it without regard to its true worth. To take communion unworthily is to come complacently, lightheartedly, giving no thought to that which the elements signify. Kind of going through the motions. There's the danger of that. Ian Howard died in 2015. He was a New Testament scholar. I want you to listen to how Ian Howard Marshall he explains this idea. He says in one of his writings, in some Christian circles today, the fear of partaking unworthily in the supper or communion leads to believers of otherwise excellent character refraining from coming to the table of the Lord. When this happens, Paul's warning is being misunderstood. The Lord's Supper, communion, is the place where the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed and offered to all who would receive it. Paul's warning was not, and I love this, the way he phrases this, Paul's warning was not to those who were leading unworthy lives and longed for forgiveness, but to those who were making a mockery of that which should have been most sacred and solemn by their behavior at the meal. Those that desire forgiveness, desire a second chance, a second start, those are not the people that's being talked about here. We should be coming to the table when we're in that situation. But it's those that are making a mockery of it. Those that have maybe ongoing sin in their lives and they're just saying, you know what, don't worry about that. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to go do communion anyways. In a sense, we're kind of making a mockery of that moment. Those, I believe, are the ones that were being warned. It says, to eat the bread and drink the cup in an unworthy manner, and to be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is to treat communion as common or profane or lightly. Communion is sacred and should not be taken lightly when we do it. The Lord's Supper is not just another meal. Lastly, we should examine ourselves, our motives, our attitudes as we take communion. This is one that I think almost every time that we do communion together, I mention this. talk about this, the need for this. We are to test our motives and our attitudes as we prepare to take communion, to be certain that we are participating for the right reasons and with the right understanding of what the elements represent. If one cannot obey this command found in 1 Corinthians, then that person is not prepared or qualified to take of the elements. As believers, we know, we should know, that we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of His desire for our lives. This is simply an opportunity when we come to communion to say, God, if there is wrong within me, if I'm missing the mark in some point of my life, please show it to me. To examine ourselves, to examine our motives and our attitudes. That's part of what communion is about. So this morning, we're going to end our time together by having communion together. And as always, everybody is welcome to participate. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you understand what it is we're doing, we encourage you to participate in taking communion with us this morning. In just a moment after I pray, Jake is going to start a song for us. I would encourage you at that point to go ahead and open up the bread, take the bread, and then also the juice at that point during the song. And then just listen to the words of the song. Worship through listening to those words. Worship through praying if you need to pray and spend some time with God. Do that during that song. Just have that song be a few moments of private worship between you and your God. Heavenly Father, please allow us to quiet our minds in this moment so that these next few minutes can be completely focused on you, Lord God. That we can remember your loving action of dying on the cross as we eat the bread and we drink the cup. Allow us to remember that you will be returning one day. And allow us allow that fact to bring us great joy. Lord God, we are far from perfect and are in need of your forgiveness. Lord God, as we take communion this morning, allow us to truly understand the importance of what we are doing and not to just go through the motions of this act. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your rich love for each one of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say, upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon. Say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say,
the worship team come up. You guys prepare to lead us in our closing hymn. Let's have a word of prayer together as they're coming up. Lord God, again we pause and we thank you. We thank you for who you are and for your desire to have communion, to have relationship with each one of us. Thank you for your willingness to send your son. We thank you that Jesus willingly went to the cross in our place. Help us, Heavenly Father, to remember the significance, the importance of that today, but also each and every day that we live our lives. I think one of the greatest ways that we can show our appreciation for what you've done for us is to live our lives according to your word and your plan. So Heavenly Father, help us to be a people that do just that. That we look to your word for how we live each and every day of our lives. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.